have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hello, my name is Glenda Johnson, better known as G. Johnson. When I'm not busy, I like tuning in to Elations Radio on Saturday nights with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., where the topic of discussion is making marriage meaningful. It appeals to the saved and the unsaved. It's for couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and for those who are divorced yet considering remarriage. Now, this discussion, making marriage meaningful, is the most explicit, authentic relationship talk live here on Elations Radio. So save the date and time on your calendar. We look forward to hearing and seeing from you at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 o'clock p.m. Central. So tune in to the broadcast and be blessed. Amen.
His presence, press in. Welcome to Making Marriage Meaningful. This is your host, Apostle Irvin Whitlow.
Hey, good people. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I don't know if you have missed us, but we have certainly missed you, and we are excited to welcome you back to Making Marriage Meaningful. I'm your host, Apostle Irvin. Back with you in your homes, your living rooms, on your job, in your office, wherever you are, in your vehicle, wherever you are listening to us, we thank God that he brought us to this opportunity to share with you once again with Making Marriage Meaningful. Let me put this disclaimer out there. I do not claim to be a relationship expert, and I will not try to act like I am one, but I will share with you what God has shared with me, believing that it will help you in your marital walk. If you're preparing for marriage, if you've been married and you done had a divorce and you think about getting remarried, or if you're married and you just want to make your marriage more meaningful, this is the podcast, the talk show for you. Let me also make this disclaimer. It's real. We talk about real issues here. It is wrong. So get ready to hear some stuff that goes under the undergarment, because we don't talk about it. It is relevant because we want to make sure that we are matching today's time with the word, with the issues we face. But I don't do it by myself. I've got a crowd of witnesses, some great preachers and teachers, and some great people in general who are going to share in this conversation. Let me see tonight. I've got to check in my roll call and see who's with us. Let me see. I know that this individual is here. Let me try the producer of my show, Dr. Kenny Robinson. Are you here tonight, Sister Gail?
Yeah, Dr. Robinson.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen, 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 and amen.
Amen. Good to hear your voice. I pray that you're with us tonight.
I am here.
All right, good. Let me see tonight. I got this great brother who is a scholar. He has his own university. It's called Volume of the Book University. He has a fellowship. Volume of the Book Deliverance Ministries International Incorporated. He is a pastor at Morning Star Church in the New England area, that state they call the Constitution State. So I know he constitutes a whole lot in this podcast. I'm talking about Apostle Vincent L. Smith. Is you here tonight, sir?
I want to go outside. In the rain. Come on, baby. Come on, baby. I want to go outside. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was that song, Rain on Me. Lord have mercy. I done got all mixed up tonight. But I'm ready, ready, ready. Let's get this thing hot and popping and frying.
Amen. So glad to hear your voice. Let me see. I know that this young lady is here because she keeps my hair looking tight and right. I'm talking about the one, the only, Lady G. Johnson. Come on and holler at us, Sister Bear.
Peace and blessings. Peace and blessings to everyone. I hope everyone is well tonight. I'm ready. Hallelujah. Let's get it started.
Amen. Let me see. I'm looking for this couple because they have so much wisdom to offer. I'm talking about Brother Otis and Sister Lady Otis Gabriel. Amen. Y'all come on. Tell us that you're here.
Good evening. Good evening, everybody.
Hey, we missed you. We glad you're back on the scene.
Amen. Amen. I know that this gentleman said he'll be running late, but I'm going to double check to see if he's with us tonight. He's my brother from another mother. He's a pastor as well. He's a preaching machine. I'm talking about Bishop Designate Ernest E. Richard Jr. Are you with us, sir? All right. He's not here yet. I know that he's coming. He said he would be late. Amen. But we are so happy to have each and every one. If I could have you, Apostle Smith, to lead us in a word of prayer, I'll get our scripture and I'll get our conversation going tonight.
Father, we thank you tonight for who you are and for what you do and for what you mean in our lives. Father, we thank you, God, for the resurfacing, the re-entering, Lord God, this return to this great podcast called Making Marriage Meaningful. Lord God, and we thank you tonight that as our lips shall part and our voice shall be carried through the white gate, Lord God, let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. And when it is all over, let married couples, divorced couples who want to marry each other again, let couples who are planning a marriage, Lord God, let them all be blessed. Let them all be encouraged. Let them all find answers to the very thing that they had on their hearts. And so, God, we praise you. We thank you. Thank you for our podcast leader, the Apostle Irvin Whitlow. God, continue to lead and guide him and bless him. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for such an incredible prayer, man of God. Here's our scripture tonight, Genesis, the second chapter, beginning with verse number 18. It says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. They shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. God bless those who hear and obey his word by doing it in Jesus' name. We've been talking from the subject, are you marriage material? The last time we were here, we began talking about handling nakedness. And there were some things that we, if you will, begin to allude to that I want to revisit so that we can, if the Lord say the same, come to a conclusion on this entire matter. What we have discovered is that there are certain things about being naked that some people struggle with. And what we have talked about is that the struggles that people have encountered are those of the, if you will, the scars that represent their nakedness. We talked about, you know, man being shriveled. We talked about woman with her stretch marks. And the thing is that we want to love each other, but in the dark, when they are not supposed to be ashamed. So if things have to be covered up between this husband and this wife, then the question is, are they handling each other's nakedness? I believe that Bishop Designate has joined us. I think he needs to be unmuted. Are you with us, sir?
Can you hear me now? Are you able to hear me, sir?
I can hear you. I can hear
all
you.
Right.
Thank God that you're here. Amen.
Bless God.
So
okay.
When we look at nakedness and we look at scars, then we have to begin to talk about why is it that if we are naked and we are married, that we want the lights off and we want the covers off. I want somebody to talk to me on that why. Because if you're married, you should have no problem seeing each other the way each other really is. Somebody talk to me.
Hey, this is Brother Otis. One thing I look about with nakedness, that is something we call like a mixed emotion event. Nakedness could be and is often the most beautiful thing that you will ever observe. There is nothing on God's green earth that is more exciting, that can cause more instant visual stimulation than looking upon the nakedness of the object of a man's affection. And one thing about that is something that has been ordained by God. He has assigned that to us, and that way we can keep and to propagate the species that a man is visually stimulated. And when we look upon the nakedness of our spouse, our wife, our partner, then we are instantly prompted that the one desire is to move closer and to engage the other four senses, mainly the sense of touch and feel. And then that leads to another. And that is something that God has placed in us, is the nakedness, watching that, seeing that, being exposed to that, and having the privilege of observing that, and that privilege at a certain point in a person's life, a certain point in their relationship should be exclusive. Now, at this point, I'm just going to restrict that observation to the physical observation of nakedness, not going into the secrets or the information that we have, the personal revelation of information that no one knows about, and sometimes, many times, not even the spouse. So upon the physical nakedness, it is very stimulating, it is beautiful, and that is a privilege and an honor that a man has. I speak from a man's point of view, when he has the honor of having a spouse.
Okay. All right. Apostle Smith, what were you going to say?
Well, after that, all I can say is let the church say amen.
All right, Apostle Smith.
Talk to
me. I was going to say off your question. Oh, Lord, now I've lost it. Give me that question again.
The question is, what is the issue with nakedness that a husband and a wife have to be in the dark and under the covers?
Okay. Here's what I'm getting ready to say. The problem is you got to remember when the statement of nakedness was first made, it said they were naked and not ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
But then the third chapter came in where there was a beguiling of the serpent, which we know had been infiltrated by Satan. And then when you hear about nakedness, again, there was shame because of sin.
Mm.
Very strange happening happened when sin came in. Because you must remember, for sin, we were wrapped in God's glory. But when sin was adapted to the body, it stripped the glory and left us in shame. And so therefore, that scenario has followed us even right now to 2021. There's somebody tonight getting ready to get down right now, but they want their husband to turn their head while they get undressed.
Mm.
The husband wants the wife to turn her head while he's getting in bed naked. Why? It's your mate. It's your right. Your body belongs to her. Her body belongs to you. Y'all have a right to look at each other. Stop being ashamed. The devil at work in your eyes.
Okay. Come on, let me hear from some of these ladies. Let's talk, ladies. Let me hear what you have to say.
Go ahead, babe.
I'm not ready yet.
Okay.
Okay, where my ladies at? What's going on?
Lady Gabriel says
don't
she ain't
tell me
ready
y'all
yet.
Somewhere. They're getting naked? What? Hello? I'm just wondering because they're quiet.
Hello?
No, I'm
Lady
saying.
G?
Go ahead.
Hello?
Talk to us.
I don't know if I can really address that, but I'm just going to say this. The only thing that comes to my mind, if one of the two are ashamed, is sometimes it's because of their appearance, what they feel about themselves. They may feel like, hey, they're overweight or they have an issue. Some people have issues with their body, and they haven't come to that revelation yet to say, hey, you know, it's okay. But until they get over it, you know, because the husband and the wife can say, oh, get over it, it's no big deal. But if they, if it's embedded in them where they just feel like, hey, I'm not sexy or I'm not this or I'm not that, then I don't know what it's going to take. It's going to take some counseling or whatever. Someone may have told them something in early in life about their appearance, and they have just taken this deep, and it's a deep-rooted thing, maybe. That's all I can speak on in reference to that.
Okay. Dr. Kimmy, anything you want to add, share your thoughts?
Sure. Please ask. Yes. Please revisit the question. What was the question again? So I can make sure I'm on the same page.
And the question is, what is the problem with this husband and this wife who are married, yet they want to be in darkness when they're naked and under the covers.
Woo, that's a good question. For one, I really believe when people still have to be in darkness and under the cover, they are not comfortable with their spouse. They have hidden secrets. When you're able to relinquish and trust your spouse and trust that they don't judge you or they don't use what you have told about your past to them in an argument, then it will be very challenging to talk about your past. Because I really believe when God, now when God brings your spouse, you should be able to at least, you know, trust them with your confidential information. I mean, everything you don't have to tell. Some things you want to retain between you and God. But then there are some things that you should be able to release and be naked with. So being naked, if you can't be naked to a point where you have to hide yourself from each other, there's some insecurity, there are some trust issues, and you have to go to the Lord with that. Because my husband and I, we're going to have fun. We're going to have fun in the Lord and still be able to talk to one another and respect each other's past, because our past led us to each other. And so if I can't trust him with his past, nor if he can't trust me with my past, what is the point of us being together?
Okay. So let's think about this, and I'm coming to you, Bishop Designate. So let's go to this. So we have things people are ashamed of. Now, let's look at this again. Apostle Smith made something very clear that in chapter 2, they were naked. They had no shame because they were in glory. But when certain things were pointed out, it changed everything, and the glory was stripped. So here's the thing. You have people who are currently married. There are many things that have been encountered over the few days, the few weeks, the few months, or the few years that they have been married. But in today's time, the average married couple has, if you will, been intimate with each other before they said, I do. Now, with this in mind, there were things that were present concerning their nakedness. My question is, why weren't these things of nakedness addressed before saying, I do? I want you to come up with your best solution, Bishop Designate, why it wasn't addressed before saying, I do.
It's not that it wasn't, and first of all, good evening to the entire panel. I do apologize. I'm trying to wrap up some conference things that need to be taken care of over this weekend. Saying that, Apostle Whitlow, it's not that they didn't address them. If they did it right, according to God's standard and the way the Lord wanted it done, there is a sense of insecurity. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm sorry. I've got to go this route because, again, I've had these conversations with individuals. Some of the men are not, I don't know what it is with this performance thing that we're dealing with, especially in the generations X, Y, and Z. And the men feel like they have to be a certain size, have a certain amount of stamina. They're questioning whether or not they have the ability to bring satisfaction to that spouse. If they've done it in God's eyes, the way God wanted it done, not having ever experienced this young lady. I'm going this way first, and I hit number two. Never having experienced this young lady, there is a high level of uncertainty. And so they're not really happy with the materials or the weapons or whatever you want to call it that they're working with. And so nakedness in the dark is – You don't need to see it, but, well, let me say it like this. I'm not trying to be funny, but it's going to sound funny, so I'm going to say it. You don't have to see it, but I sure want to make sure you feel it. That's basically what's going on there. Now, for the individuals that have experienced each other over a present point in time, to have that level of insecurity, it's kind of hard to understand because, A, number one, we've been there before on several occasions. I know what you feel like. I know what it's like. I know the levels of intimacy. I know what you like for me to do for you, with you, and to you. So what the problem is? Well, she's trying to, quote, unquote, spiritualize that moment because now for the first time they're going to have sex as married couples, as a man and woman, a marital couple. And she's reaching for that level of virginity, spiritually speaking, that she had before she ever gave her virginity away to Mr. Right now, as opposed to Mr. Right. Now, the man, on the other hand, he don't have that mentality. He's just like, come on, baby, let's get down. I've been waiting all day for this. Come on, you was looking sexy in that dress. Get over here, woman. But truth of the matter comes down to this. It depends on how the individual sees what's going on. Now, we could talk naturally, and we can come up with some medical terms, and we can come up with some philosophical terms, the whole 20 yards. But at the end of the day, Apostle, the nakedness that you speak of, if it's in its proper connotation, it's just simply seeing each other as you are and being comfortable with that individual who stands before you.
Apostle.
Yes, sir.
Apostle.
Come on.
I saw something tonight that I have not, as many times as we've gone to the scriptures, many times as I've ministered from it and taught from it, I yet see something tonight that I have not seen. And you know
okay.
What that is?
What's that?
The shame of nakedness.
Uh-huh.
When we talk about the shame of nakedness, I saw it tonight for the first time. That as soon as Adam and Eve realized they were naked, they grab fig leaves and put them together.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So when God asked him, why were you hiding? He said, we were naked and ashamed. Watch this now. So we hid ourselves. We've been preaching for years. He was talking about the trees. He was talking about the fig leaf. We covered ourselves from each other because we was ashamed, and then we heard your voice, and we became more ashamed.
Okay.
Can I throw something in on top of that? What he just said. No. That penny's valuable. You know why? Because for the first time, they saw themselves for what they were from a natural standpoint. Up until that point, and I like what you said, Apostle Smith, up until that point, everything they saw was from a spiritual aspect. We keep forgetting that we are three-dimensional beings. We were spirit before we were ever flesh. God just gave us a flesh to cover this spiritual body so that our spiritual body could dwell in the atmosphere that he had put together. We got to keep this in mind that at that time, Adam and Eve walking in the spirit. How do you talk to the voice of God in the cool of the day? You're talking to the voice of God. The voice of God is not a natural entity that your physical eyes can see. It's a spiritual thing. And so they came out of the spirit the very second they sinned against God and started living in a natural world. They could no longer see in the spirit like they once did. That makes a lot of sense to me. And that's just my opinion to add to what was already put out there. So thank you for the salad. I just threw a couple of beets and some carrots, a few onions, and, you know, some other stuff in there so it tastes good. That's all.
Well, so then, So then my question becomes this. My question becomes this. Does nakedness match not meeting up to what God has established? Let me ask the question again. Does nakedness match not meeting up to God's standards? Because in chapter 2, they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Okay? So my question again, does nakedness match not meeting up to God's standards?
I think that is quite well depicted in the Bible and in our lives today. When we become open, that means displaying and showing our nakedness to our spouses, it can be a very enchanting thing. Now, the way that we feel about nakedness changes. That feeling all is altered with the chronology, a person's chronology, the event, the stages that we are going through. At a very early age of courtship and marriage, something that would not be very well accepted becomes accepted if that is that same information would become exposed years or 10 years later. For example, the I like what the elder said a few moments ago, you know, about the virginity. Say a fellow, a young man getting married in his very early 20s would be shocked to know that his new bride of 21 years has been intimate with 10 to 15 other men. He would like to hope and think that she may be close to a virgin. That same information revealed 10 years later would be a natural. So it all depends on the chronological stage that we're in. And sometimes that that expose can be a very bonding experience. It's just like, if I say, the visual exposure along with the exposure of a person's past, exposure of a person's secret desires, an exposure of something that a person would like to do. Let's go to the secrets that we harbor in our mind and in our heart. There was a gentleman that was participating in activities with prostitutes that he just loved to do. He said a prostitute was open, free-spirited, and he would be with her, and she would walk around and do anything he asked her to do, do a little dance if she wanted to, take off as many clothes as he asked her to, and perform different types of sexual activity. And that became part of his life as a secret. And, of course, he was caught. That information became open to his spouse because of an incident that took place. And when she learned this, she was more hurt than she was angry. And she told him, she said, "I have always secretly yearned to be a stripper. I wouldn't go and do that because of my morals and my spiritual obligation, but I would just love to be on stage and taking off one piece of clothing at a time and showing the whole world of men everything that I have just to watch their reaction, and the same reaction that I heard. I don't know for sure, but I heard that there's a place where men go and they pay to watch women get undressed. And that becomes one of their favorite activities. She wanted to be that woman on the stage. Now, the cover, if she had told him that, she felt that he would think that she was a different kind of person than what he had envisioned, and that what he had envisioned for her for the last 12 years that they were married. And she said, if you had asked me, she said, I would have bought a nurse's outfit, a cowgirl outfit, anything you wanted me, the French maid outfit, and had a different one on every night you came home and did a little dance. And as far as the different types of sexual activity, she said, in my mind, that she just visualizes all those things that she hear women doing. And she even watched a movie one night on Netflix after he had gone to bed called Deep Throat. And she said, I don't know why that's a movie. I could do that, or at least try to see what I could do to see what Linda Lovelace did. Now, that exposure of secrets was very shocking to him. So much so, he wanted to try this with his wife. He wanted to take advantage of this new expose, this new knowledge that he had learned about his wife. But he was wondering, has she ever done it before? And does she really have more to say about this than she has just told him? So sometimes revealing that knowledge of becoming naked about the past can have mixed results. And that is just one of many things that can be attributed to nakedness. But the one thing I would like to just say about this is being exposed, exposing yourself to your spouse can be a very bonding event, whether physically, emotionally, intellectually. It can be a very bonding, just make you closer together by with that expose. But I really do hope that we are free to come out of the shower, the wife come out of the shower with a towel around her, and if you stop her, open that towel, that she wouldn't grab and close it again. That's supposed to be our privilege as a married person, and she may like to see you naked sometime. So just walk through after you come out of the shower, go to your drawer to take out your underclothes without hiding if you hear her open the door. And so that is something that we should be, some people should be more comfortable with being naked around their spouses, whether it's going to be something of information from the past or whether it's going to be physical.
Hey, Brother Otis, I would just simply say, drop the towel, woman.
Go ahead. Say, drop the towel.
Brother Otis, could you please call me as soon as the podcast is over? I want the name, the number of this place where they dance everyone.
It's called the Greasy Pole. It's called the Greasy Pole.
Hey, I just wanna go by and have prayer.
Whatever.
I'll send that on a text.
Get back to this thing, because again, you have people who have been married for years, and we have to admit that as we live this life, the body changes. Let's be truthful. Men go from a six pack to what's that? And that woman goes from that Coca-Cola bottle to a milk bottle. All right? So we have to look at this in actuality. That which used to be well-tailored has now become flamboyant, if you catch my drift. That which was curvaceous has now become a monstrosity. I'm sorry. I don't mean no harm. But we have to look at reality with these things, okay? So now you talked about the individuals who feel some kind of shame because of their body change. But should not the love of her husband or the love of his wife make him still want to show off what he got?
The question is...
Anybody?
The question is, what is the treatment of the husband that made her lose the Coca-Cola treatment? It's not always pregnancy and all of that. Some women become depressed because they're never told I love you. They're never held. There are things going on behind that closed door that made them run to the ice cream. Made them start eating cookies. Made them start eating. They went from eating just three to eating a whole row. Why? Because they became mentally incapacitated.
Mm-hmm.
Now the food has taken the place of what is supposed to be an intimate moment with their husband, and the husband has shut down. Now the football game, the baseball game, his favorite cop show is more important than the time he used to spend with his wife.
So sometimes
it's a shutdown.
Yeah.
So then my question, also, is this. If it's now she's in a depressed mode, so to speak, if this be the case, and she has chewed her way, she has chewed or eaten her way to a different size, and he's sitting there, if you will, he's drinking too much soda or he's drinking that beer, and because of his game, his football game, baseball game, should there not be something that she could do that would change his attention? I mean, is it possible that maybe if she walks around cleaning with a duster and a half of an apron or something, smelling good, wouldn't that maybe spark something? Because the objective is not just to handle the nakedness, but to promote a good activity with nakedness. Because I'm a little different from, R. Kelly or T. Sweat some 20-plus years ago, maybe 30 years ago, said something about, I don't see nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. I'm sorry, but bumping and grinding doesn't really do the trick with clothes on. So couldn't it be maybe if she was to give him a lap dance, maybe if she was to put a pole in the bedroom and kind of swing on it a little something, couldn't there be something that should spark the interest of that individual who is naked? Because let's tell the truth, Victoria's Secret is telling everything. Somebody want to talk to me? Lord.
Go ahead, I'll listen after you.
Come on, talk to me. Where you at, Bishop Destiny? Where you at, Lady G? Where you at, Dr. Kenneth? I ain't hear nobody. Somebody talk to me.
Well, I missed what was said just now.
Oh, very quick disruption.
No. I mean, just that last part, because I guess it's not, I won't call it a disruption. It was something of necessity. So
you
talk to me.
Hey, Whitlow.
Well, no.
While you were putting that scenario out there, his wife walked by with a French maid outfit.
No, that wasn't it. I mean, like I said, I'm trying to craft this welcome letter, and I'm trying to kill two birds with one stone because I passed the deadline. So please forgive me if I'm in and out.
That
French maid outfit ain't bad, though. Anyway, give me a, basically, help me understand where you're going. What statement are you making, Apostle Whitlow?
See, that's what happens when you get with folks who are distracted, if you will. Again,
Lord,
we're trying to deal with this. If this nakedness has become an issue because the body has changed, our question is, what can be done to provoke activity of the naked?
Well, that's an easy question to answer, because now you're dealing with the mentality of him, the man or the woman, who is feeling ashamed. Yeah, let's just be real about this. As we age, our body thickens a little more than normal. You ain't that little skinny 26, 34, 24, 36 that you once were. Now you're pleasingly plump. You got a little extra on you. You know what I'm saying? And for the man, you know, you were once nice and fit and trim, and, you know, you had your six-pack. Now your six-pack is packed up, and now you're left with a mountainous round flesh, look like the two-butt system. Let's just be honest about it. It's a mentality thing, changed. You have to get past the fact that, you know, you have aged. You know, and I mean, I got to say this for myself. I wish I could go back to when I was 15, 16, 17, 20, 25, and even up to 35. Yeah, I knew I was looking good. I knew I had it going on. But here I'm at 60, pretty close to 63, just a couple of weeks off of becoming 63. Can't run as fast as I used to. A set of stairs, I might need an oxygen tank if I go up too many of them. Things have changed, and in our mentality, we're still thinking on yesterday when we need to make today available and make preparation for tomorrow. When you can get out of your yesterday, now you can deal with what's in front of you today with a sense of security and a sense of assuredness. As long as you're sitting there thinking, oh, you know, you're looking in the mirror, I'm fat, this, that. And again, I got to say this to any brothers listening. If your wife comes to you at any point in time and says to you, honey, do I look fat? Do not answer that question, please. I'm begging you. Don't answer that question. Don't answer it. I don't know how to tell you. Come on, Gabriel, help me out on this. Don't answer.
Okay, matter of fact, I was just waiting. I would like to go along and just add to what you said. It's yes that we go through changes. And when you begin to describe yourself in the years past, I thought about that. And one thing I try to do is that when I think about that, but I accept totally, 100% where I am right now. And I just had a flashback when you said that. I'm a military man. I was a master sergeant in the Army. I spent 26 years, and I was the quintessential man. I could run fast. I was strong. I could lead men, show them how to do things, even going into combat, which was the, I didn't do so well the second trip to Vietnam, but the first trip over there did real well and came back alive and unwounded. He helped other people to do the same, and that was, to me, the highlight. That was the peak of physicality. However, I accept the fact that time brings about a change, and I accept that change. As a matter of fact, endorse it, and glad to be here years later in with the mental acuity that I have, with the physical prowess that I now have, and understand that we're going to change so much so. I saw a show where there were people behind a screen, and they showed silhouettes, and you could tell, you never thought about this, that you could tell the age of a person just by seeing the silhouette. That the way a teenager, the same, that weighs the same, say 170 pounds, a teenager weighing 170 pounds, and a 50-year-old man weighing 170 pounds have a significantly different silhouette. And then as it ages, you can tell that. So our spouses are not only exposed to the silhouette, but they can pull up the screen, and there you are. And I am just as proud as my body today as I was when I was running through the jungles of Vietnam. Now, we also have to think about that not only do we change, we're talking about how our wives are going to look, that the time is going to change to bring about a change to everybody. Chronologically, that is a years, most time to put that in a decade. In the 20s, you did this, 30s, you did this, 50s, you did this, and just have a full appreciation for that nakedness that we were so excited about. That is the same person. And if you think that you don't get excited, think about how she looks and how she would feel when she looks over and see you. Where what used to be a muscle is just part of your body now, no definition to it, and no less strength than we had before. So let's just appreciate the changes that are natural in life. I heard some, I think that was the Apostle Smith said changes. I was going to talk about that. There's one thing in life that we can depend on, and that is changes. What we are today, we will not be the same time next year. So appreciate the changes, accept the changes in ourselves and in our spouses, because that's ours. That belongs to us, no matter if it's 25, 55, or 75. And let's just think about and just get our mind in a position to where we can have a full appreciation of our spouse just as much now at whatever five you are as you were when you were 25.
And the church said amen.
Bro Whitlow, if I could just add a little statement to that. The old man said, well, the man said in his young days, he looked over at his wife, he said, honey, I'm going to jump on you every night, every morning, and sometimes in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
He said, but when I get too old to jump on you at night and in the morning and in the afternoon, he said, I'll just look over and pet the cat and be happy.
Well, I got to agree with that one technically, because you get to a point where you go back, and it's already been said, so we need not beat a dead horse because he can't win the Kentucky Derby anyway. But basically, you know, looking back, the stamina and the energy, all that you had back then, I know we as men wish we had it again. But in dealing with nakedness here and there, I just want to just encourage you young ladies, your husband loves you for who you are.
Amen.
For who you are. He does not love you for the shape of your body. He doesn't love you. I mean, you had them curves when he first met you. It's those curves that attracted him to you, probably. I mean, you know, that Coke bottle shape, I'm sorry, eventually over time it became a milk bottle shape, but still, look, he wasn't after your body. He was after your heart. If he was a true man of God and was true to life in terms of you, he was after your heart. And when he landed you, as far as that man was concerned, he landed a jackpot. So your nakedness, naturally speaking, you know, you may have a couple of rolls. You may have a couple of stretch marks. We pray you ain't got no bullet holes. But the bottom line is simply this. That man loves you for you. End of story.
That is a prayer. That is a prayer. Because some men love the woman for who she is. Some men, like some women, are looking for a particular lifestyle. And so when certain things don't match the lifestyle they're looking for, there is no more love. I want to go another direction, however.
Well, hold on before you go, Apostle. They're not looking for love. If what you just said holds true, then they're not looking for love. Lifestyle and love are not the same thing. Love does not produce the rigorous lifestyle of the rich and famous. Love takes what's in front of it and gives to and produces as a result of what it's given to. Now, if you want to live that rich lifestyle and you both agree on it, well, hey, work toward it. I'm not going to sit there and tell you you can't do it because, yes, you can. But if you come in looking for something and you ain't bringing nothing to the table, honey, you might as well get up because that chair don't belong to you.
I hear you. I hear you. But, again, we're in a different time. We're in a different time. But this is what I want to look at for a moment, okay? Suppose their nakedness was their ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Suppose their nakedness was no sense of direction, no sense of purpose, no sense of destiny. Because if you be truthful, there are people, if you will, who were inventors of that great movie before it became a movie called Dumb and Dumber. And there are some folks who are simple enough to just be dumb and dumber. They're married, but they have no vision. They're married.
Now get ready
they have
to say
no
that.
Imagination. They're married. They have no purpose. They just did it. So,
but you know what the word says, sir. You know what the word says, sir. It says without vision, what happens to the people? The principle stands. Without vision, without vision. Without vision. I'm just saying, you said in ignorance. They're without vision. So they're doomed already. I'm sorry. Let's just be real about it. Why did God allow Solomon to put in Proverbs, I'm thinking it's, I can't remember what chapter and verse it is, but I know it says without vision, the people perish. When you are waltzing around here and you have no vision, you have no purpose, why are you even approaching any woman talking about marriage and you don't know where the heck it is you're going? And if that woman is dumb enough to receive and accept, I'm just saying, if that woman is dumb enough to receive and accept you with your visionless self, then she deserves everything she gets. Now, I know I sound mean, but I'm being real.
Absolutely.
I'm being real. You deserve everything you get if you're going to turn around and run off with this man not knowing where you're going, how you're going to get it done. He ain't got no job. Y'all ain't got no money, and all you got is love. You can live on love, but you can't live on love. Now, that sounds rhetorical, but the truth of the matter is you can be in love, but you can't live on love. Sorry about that. It takes a little bit more than love. That's all I'm saying, sir.
I think Apostle Smith once said, there is more to love than making love.
You're right about that.
We have to understand that, because let's be truthful. Love is not going to take you through what you need to get to.
Let's
be truthful. It takes some sense and so on. I think, wait a minute, Brother Gabriel, because I think Sister G wanted to say something.
In reference to, well, I have wanted to say something a while back, but it kind of, you know, but in reference to, but I won't go there because it's some past now. But yeah, it takes more than just this feeling of, I'm crazy about you, you're crazy about me. It takes more that's going to make love last. You know, it's going to take more. Where's the vision? A woman wants a man that has vision. Where is he going? She wants to help him to reach that vision, you know. And as you said, without the vision, people perish.
Okay. Okay. All right. What were you going to say, Brother Gabriel?
No, I agree with what you have just said, the other two presenters. And one thing to add to that is that even though that is the ideal relationship, is to, I like the part where it says to win a woman's heart. And many times we want to win their heart, but the stimulants that has caused us to want to win out her heart is because of her physicality, is that physical beauty. Again, go back to my background, is that I have been in 23 different countries around on 5 continents, and I have seen people. Matter of fact, the gentleman was in my platoon that got married to a woman that could not speak 2 words of English and put it together. And he got married to her, brought her back to America. The young lady, to look at her, she was a thing of beauty. But he figured that he could, if he had somebody that good looking, that he could work around that over the next however many years and help her to get whatever else that she needed. So that one, and there are other situations where people are prompted to take on or to form a union with a person because of the way that they look. And if we look at the heart, I think that those relationships would last a little bit longer. And find out about the vision is to make sure that the vision is running parallel to our visions. It's nothing wrong with her vision, maybe nothing wrong with yours, but they should be somewhere close to being the same. Then we would have a happier union. And one other thing, the last thing I'm going to say this evening is about the nakedness, is sometimes it is better for an individual to keep their intellectual portion of this under the cover. It said that you may suspect a person is not very intelligent, and then they will say something, and that will prove they are not intelligent. And when you hear that, it is maybe like a contrast with the way a person looks and the way a person speaks and what we would expect of someone that looks that nice. And then when they begin to speak, it becomes quite different in our opinion.
Okay. Okay. Amen. Amen. Listen, there are so many things that we have gotten from this whole ordeal of being marriage material. The key is you want to represent God from the aspect of who he is. And who is he? He is love. And if you cannot operate in marriage according to the love that has been initiated and instituted and implemented by God, there will never be anyone who will be marriage material. Sir, you need to love like God. Woman, you need to love like God. If there is no love like God, things will fail. Let me say it again. If there is no love like God, things will fail. You will stay alone. You will not know how to discern, how to define what is supposed to be for you. You'll continue to walk alone, and you'll continue to find other things, if you will, to substitute. You'll continue to misinterpret what comes your way. Most of all, you won't be equipped to leave your mother and father to be able to cleave to your wife. And certainly, if you're ignorant because of your nakedness, if you're stupid because of your nakedness, or if you're ashamed because of your nakedness, you will not be marriage material.
All
Here's
right.
What I'd like to submit. Here's what I'd like to submit to you. Solomon said something that will help any man, any woman who is already married, who is divorced and thinking about remarriage, or someone who's in the process of headed towards marriage. He gives us something. He says, treat wisdom as a sister and treat insight as a confidant. Because if you don't have wisdom and insight about marriage, I'm sorry to say you will never, ever be marriage material. Let's get some final closing statements. Let's go this direction because we haven't heard much from them. Want to hear from Dr. Timmy Robinson, Sister G. Then we will hear from Sister Gabriel, Bishop Designate, Apostle Smith, and I will do the finals. Come on. Let's go.
Well, I just want to say this was a great discussion, and I really believe that marriage can be made meaningful when, you know, you love the person for their inner beauty. Of course, we want to have someone that we are attracted to, but oftentimes it says that in the word, like especially in the Virtuous Woman, towards the end, it says beauty is really vain because it does eventually perish away. And those the virtual woman that actually praises the Lord, that is what makes that person or that woman a virtuous woman, because she praises the Lord. And, you know, so basically beauty is vain. And my clothes would just be basically love. Love is so amazing when it's done in a godly way, designed by God. And then you have a great recipe. And so that would be my closing.
Okay.
This is Sister Gabriel. my closing remarks are that the beauty of marriage, you become familiar with each other, you know, especially when you first get married. Just like the evening of marriage, you have a celebration and you have your first night together. And, you know, do things like vacation and shower together. And, you know, we as women, we like to look very attractive, so we purchase lingerie. And, you know, we like to be complimented on how we look in that. And I would also suggest to spend more time with foreplay. And that doesn't always mean, you know, examining each other and making, you know, little remarks like, well, you know, like you've picked up a little bit of love handles on the side, or, you know, you don't feel as strong as you used to. And things like that, you know, shouldn't be said, I don't think. And because the physical changes of the body don't happen overnight. And change comes gradually. And if you are surprised about the changes that your spouse has undergone, that means that you all have not been intimate on a regular basis. And we want to always keep a mature attitude, because we as women, we see what men see, say, on TV, and we can't compete with that, you know, with all of the busty women and, you know, how much of their body they expose and their physical, you know, the way they look physically, just trim like they're sculptured. And it's almost like looking at play in the dark. But what we could do is suggest that, you know, the couple take care of each other by, you know, practicing being healthier, you know, eating better, moving, maybe exercising together. And I think that will keep you in touch with your spouse, and it will encourage both of you all. So that was my comment tonight. I enjoyed the session.
Okay. And my comments with the nakedness is that, yes, our bodies do change, but our bodies don't have to change for the worse. There's something that we can do about it, and I beg to differ on that. Yeah, you know, we want to say, okay, because I'm 60, because I'm 70, oh, I got to be, you know, like my mother or like my father. They gained all this weight. But it's also a thing where what do we want to look like? Do we want to go by the status quo, or do we want it to be healthy? Just because we're aging doesn't mean that we eat the same thing that we ate at 20 and this, that, and other. So it's about taking care of yourself, because the metabolism changes. Okay, so with the metabolism changes, then that means we may have to take another look at how we're eating, what we're doing, step away from the table. It's you know, so we can do something about it as far as the changes that come about as you get older. But it's in our mind, how do we want to stay attracted? Because sometimes couples, they may be like, oh, well, I got him now, so, or I got her, the vice versa, so I don't really have to, you know, do anything because, you know, he's mine now. But as we know, men are visual, okay? I think all of us can agree to that. Whereas women, we look at other things. But what's wrong with keeping our appearance? If you did your hair when you first met, why aren't you not doing it now? If you if you took a walk and stayed healthy, whatever you were doing, you can still do these things. There's no excuse because you've gotten older, okay? So, and as far as trying to find out if someone is marriage material, it's a matter of spending time seeing the good, bad, and the ugly in them, and seeing that that's something that you can deal with. You know, yes, love is great, but there's other things that come along with love that makes a marriage meaningful and last a long time. That's my closing statement.
Amen. I like that. Thank you. Brother Gabriel?
Okay, right here. Yes, my final statement for the evening is that we should just have a full appreciation for our spouses during and through every phase of life, because they are coming and they're gonna we're going to change. Another thing that I like to do is to concentrate on my wife. Is not have any other outside interests, and whatever I want that a woman supplies, is I look for it in my spouse. And right now, well, I'm just going to tell you something that haven't been exposed during this session, that I was doubly fortunate to meet my wife is not only is she brilliant as far as helping with business, finances, with the things around the house, the being domesticated, but she is an outstanding beauty. Matter of fact, she is a certified beautiful woman. One of the most beautiful women in Washington, D.C. She was in the, was that the very first Miss D.C. beauty contest. And I just told you that. And when you see her today, you're going to say, yes, I can understand. So I got the beauty along with the brains.
All right.
Yeah, Brother Otis, you don't need no brownie points. She loves you just like you are. Let me stop.
All right. I always try to make a few extra points.
Hey.
To make an extra point, you get the extra sugar.
I ain't mad at you. Hey, keep them. Hey, keep your brownie point account up. You're going to need it one day. Anyway, let me move forward. We've heard a lot. A lot has been said. Some great closing remarks have been shared at this present point in time. If I can leave any one thought with those of you who are listening by way of radio or social media, it would be this. You know, there was a saying back in the day, what you see is what you get. If you're going to allow the purity of your nakedness to be the dictatorship as to whether or not you can be in each other's presence, whether it be in the light or in the dark, then, you know, you're on a good track. But if you're going to try to play hide-and-go-seek, you're not giving your spouse or your significant other the proper respect that they so richly deserve. They want to see you for who you are. They don't want to see a painted version of you. They don't want to see a tainted version of you. They don't want to see a carbon copy of somebody else, you imitating whoever it is you're trying to be. They want to see you, you know. And when it talks about in the scriptures that they were naked, they were in plain sight. Walk in the spirit one with another. Let me close with simply saying this. If you're ashamed of what God has given you, you're never going to be able to be the person you're supposed to be for the woman or the man that God has given you. Be yourself. That's all. Just be yourself. And let whatever it is, let it be. You can fix it if it is not what you want it to be. And please, I'll say this too. Oh, God, please let me say this part. Ladies and gentlemen, please stay off of the plastic surgeon's table. Please. That ain't nakedness. That's stupid. Anyway, let's move forward. The bottom line is simply this. Take what God has given you. Use it for his glory. And I promise you, your spouse will greatly appreciate you at the end of the day.
Amen. Amen. All right, Apostle Smith, lay it on us.
I just simply want to say, girl, you got what I want, and I got what you need. And girl, we were made for each other.
You're on now.
If you know what you got.
All right.
And it works when you got it. Keep working with it. And it'll work back with you no matter how thin, how thick, or how wide, or how heavy. It has to come. And if you work it, it'll work with you. And you will throw them clothes off, not get you undressed in another room, and then try to sleep in another room. You are made for each other. Enjoy and have a great time.
Amen, amen. Well, let me make a couple of announcements real quick before we get out of here. First thing, I want to wish everyone a happy 4th of July. I pray that your time together will be safe. I know that many people will be in service, but they'll probably get out early because they want to try to find some barbecue. So we pray that it will be well with you in Jesus' name. That's the first thing. Second thing, let me make this very clear. You are in the greatest month. Let me say it again. You are in the greatest month of the year because there are great kings who are born this month, and two of them are on this live right now. Two great kings, one being Bishop Designate Ernest E. Richard Jr., whose birthday is on the 19th of this month, who will celebrate through the remainder of the year. And the other is yours truly, who started celebrating on the 1st and will continue to celebrate until next year. So two great kings who's born in this month. Don't ever discard the greatness of this month. This whole month through the remainder of the year is an important holiday for these two great kings. Now,
Apostle Whitlow, I have one more. Otis Gabriel, July the 9th.
All right now.
What?
We got another king. We three kings. We three kings.
Yep.
That works. Amen.
We three kings.
These three kings. All right. Let's also let me make you aware of these announcements. Prophetic Dimensions Ministries, along with Rise Ministries, presents Fellowship of the Saints, Thursday, July 15th, Friday, July 16th, 2021, 7:30 p.m. nightly, with special guest Dr. Tori Phillips. And the services will be held at Friendship Baptist Church, 2543 Deans Bridge Road, here in the city of Augusta, Georgia. This man is phenomenal. And just on a personal note, he happens to be the best friend of Dr. Jamal Bryant, who is the current pastor at New Birth Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. So that's going to be phenomenal. Also happening this month, which is so huge, I don't want anybody to miss it. It is going down the 21st through the 25th of this month. It is the volume of the book, Deliverance Ministries International and Incorporated, Holy Convocation, and the first ever Word Fest gathering with great preachers, great teachers, including but not limited to Apostle Faye August, Bishop C. Sean Tyson, Bishop Donald Golder, Sister Amber Smith, Elder-elect Nordella Jordan, Pastor Anna Henderson, and I believe I have Minister Kimberly Dixon. Also, there will be a Family and Friends Day, a community outreach picnic on Saturday, July 24th. It will climax on Sunday the 25th of the month with Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith. It is being held at Jerusalem Temple Apostolic Church, 2125 East 54th Street, Indianapolis, Indiana. I want to encourage you to find a way to get there. Fly, get a train, get a bus, get a car, get on your skateboard, get on a bicycle, swim if you have to. Don't miss it, because it's going to be all that and a bag of chips. Wanted to make those announcements known. Now, finally, with all that has been said with this being marriage material, let me say this again, that you want to have the wisdom of God with insight and make use of it. Don't do stupid stuff when you've got something good to work with. That is what I'd like to submit to you, right? This is Apostle Urban A. Whitlow, Jr., your host here at Making Marriage Meaningful. We are so happy to have you once again. We want to say this. Don't walk good and then, don't talk good and walk bad. Let me repeat. Don't talk good and walk bad. Let your talk match your walk. In other words, your marriage will not be meaningful as long as your mate is meaningless. If you're married tonight and you get tapped on the shoulder, roll over. And if you are single and you're feeling hot and bothered, cold shower. It will help in Jesus' name. I love you. Thank God for you and invite you to join us on next Saturday night for some more Making Marriage Meaningful. We pray that you go with God and know that he will go with you. Dr. Kimmy, do me a favor. Drop it like it's hot and hit that track. Shalom, shalom.
King ruler, slave that made a way metaphorically king.